Chapter 9. The rain hadn't let up since it had begun, and it was causing a fair bit of flooding in low-lying sections of Paradise. For the first time in weeks, there was some buzz at headquarters about something other than flat tires. Of course, there wasn't much the police could do about floods, except reroute traffic away from dangerous areas, but that didn't stop people from calling 911. The phone was ringing so often that Jesse was forced to help Alicia handle the calls. It was good experience for her, a way for her to listen to how Jesse dealt with folks panicked by rising waters or angry that their sewers hadn't been cleaned since the fall. When the phone stopped, Jesse turned to look at his new hire to see how she was holding up. He was pleased to see she didn't look the worse for wear. The stress of dealing with people during heightened states of emotion could be withering for even the most experienced cops. It could be fatal to a rookie's career. Jesse had seen it in L.A., rookies melting down under the pressure of the moment, some losing their cool, blowing up at citizens, others reduced to tears, while others still just walked away. It takes a special kind of person to be a cop. It's not about the gun and the badge. What it is about is hard to define, hard to quantify, but whatever it is, Alicia seemed to have plenty of it. "You hear that, Jesse?" she asked. She had taken to heart his admonition against calling him chief. "Hear what?" "Rain stopped. Phone stopped ringing." "Funny how that works. They'll start ringing again soon." She asked, "You want some coffee?"
"No, thanks."
He watched her as she made her way to the new coffee maker. It was one of those one-cup-at-a-time machines with individual plastic containers. Jesse liked the coffee, but not much else about the machine. It wasn't that he missed day-old coffee grown thick and black at the bottom of the pot. No sane human being missed that. It was that he remembered 1,000 conversations he'd had over the years, here and in L.A., beginning with complaints about bad coffee. Alicia Davis would never have that experience. He wondered if she would be better for it. There was a lot to like about technology, but Jesse saw the other side of it, too. Technology eroded shared experience, and that wasn't good for his cops. He'd taken a big risk by hiring Alicia ahead of other candidates, men and women alike, most of them with law enforcement backgrounds. Then there was the fact that Alicia was African-American. There wasn't much overt racism in Paradise, at least not since Jesse had cleared Hasty Hathaway and his militia types out of town soon after he took the job as chief. But Alicia's hiring had caused a stir. He had seen the looks she got when they went out on patrol together. Two selectmen had approached Jesse when he submitted her for the town's approval. They tied themselves up in knots as they tried to talk around what they really meant. Weren't there safer hires? Weren't there more experienced candidates? Isn't she too young? Won't her youth be a problem with, you know, some of our, you understand? Jesse understood all right. Some codes were more easily broken than others. Good thing the mayor, a woman, had his back on Alicia, or there might have been some real trouble. In the end, it didn't hurt that Alicia was attractive. Black or white, man or woman, good looks were an asset. It was unfair, but Jesse had stopped tilting at that windmill a long time ago. What was right and what was just, he'd fight for those, but unfairness was someone else's battle. Just as Alicia got back to the front desk with her coffee, the phone started up again. They both took calls. "Yes, Mrs. Hammond, the power company knows about it," Jesse said, his voice calm and reassuring. "I alerted them early this morning. They have a crew already working on it, a cable company, too." Almost before he put the phone back in its cradle, it rang again. But Alicia grabbed Jesse's arm before he could pick up. "I'll take that one, Jesse. I'm on with Captain Healy from the state police, and he says it's urgent. I'll put him on hold, and you can take it inside." Jesse patted the rookie on her shoulder and headed into his office. He sat down at his desk and grabbed the phone.
"What's up, Healy?"
"Something come across my desk a half hour ago I think you'll be interested in."
Uh-huh. Gino Fish is dead, Healy said matter-of-factly. I had no use for the man myself, but I know you two were friends. Jesse ignored that last part. How? Bullet through his brain. Mob hit? My first thought, too, Healy said. So I called my liaison over there at the Boston PD. Their working theory is murder-suicide. Looks like it happened Friday afternoon. His pretty boy receptionist's dead, also. 23-year-old white male named Drew Kaiser. Looks like Fish stabbed Kaiser twice, once through the heart, and once almost clean through his neck. Fish posed the body post-mortem, laid Kaiser's head on a pillow, and crossed his hands on top of his chest. After that, he went into his office and blew his brains out with a .38 he kept in his drawer. Gunshot definitely self-inflicted? Jesse asked, disbelieving. No doubt about it. Anyways, I just thought you'd like to know. Thanks, Healy. Jesse hung up the phone, but before he could gather his thoughts, Alicia appeared at his door. What's up? There's a man on the line for you. He says his name is Vinnie Morris, and that you'll want to speak to him. Vinnie Morris had never been more right about anything in his life.